In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there that's listening on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, Blackstone and Sierra Avenue. Come on down here to First String Sports. This is definitely the place to be, setting up here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. This is my favorite room in the whole building. Off to the right-hand side when you guys walk in here, First String Sports. You can check out all the different Letterman's jackets that you can buy. Summer is upon us. I think the high is supposed to be 104 today here in Fresno. Yesterday, you could definitely feel it. We went to a movie. Well, we saw the new Jurassic World Dominion movie. Nice little send-off, I guess you could say, with the franchise with the old school Jurassic Park characters in the new school. So when we walked out of the movie theater, you could just feel the heat, the Fresno heat just hit you. You know, you're in an air-conditioned place. And, we all know here in the Central Valley what that heat means. So, yeah, come on down here to First String Sports and check everything out that is good. This is the final show of the Central Valley Sports Report for this year, for this school year. Happy to announce that we're coming back. We're coming back strong August 14th. Just reflecting back on this school year and my time here on 1430 ESPN and the Central Valley Sports Report, this has been an absolute blast to talk about high school sports, bring in coaches, bring in student athletes, talk to other media members, talk to athletic directors. I've just had a wonderful time. So, yeah, I've taken a couple months off. Obviously, school is out for everybody as well. So, recharge my batteries a little bit, go on a vacation or two with my family, and then coming back strong, like I said, on August 14th. This is show number 42. I actually went back to my show notes and I counted up that I had a total of 131 guests since August. 131 different people I've talked to related to high school sports. And yeah, I do this for you guys, for the audience. And I hope you guys have enjoyed my conversations with people. I might romanticize high school sports a little bit. I talk about glory days and I bring back a lot of people to talk about what high school was like back in their days. And to me, that's a lot of fun because this time in young people's lives is very important. It's very special. It helps shape young men and women. I just think high school sports are great. The next level is college becomes more of a business. And of course, professionalism is pros, and that's the ultimate goal for a lot of people. But for most high school kids, they don't make it. They don't even make it to college. They don't play college sports, and let alone play pro sports. But that's why high school days are very, very important. So on today's show, after the first break, Justin Garza, high school football coach Yosef Ferris. I saw this on Twitter the other day. I have to talk to Yosef about this. He got an incredible opportunity. He is going to be an intern with the Atlanta Falcons. He got an internship. He did his big presentation that I'm sure he's going to talk about, to the big wigs in the Atlanta Falcons, and he was selected. So he's going to be checking out their training camp for a couple weeks. He actually he told me that he is going to be there for their first preseason game at Detroit. So really looking forward to that conversation with Yosef. He's one of the great guys in high school sports, especially in football. He's got a great mind, and they're going to be playing varsity football this year for the first time at Justin Garza High School. So, yeah, Yosef will join us and talk about what that entails. At the bottom of the hour, I should say, Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be wrapping up the school year. No better person I'd rather talk about the entire school year in high school sports than Gabe Camarillo. He's producing the show. He actually got his own show, if you guys haven't heard. It started last week. Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 here on 1430 ESPN. So looking forward to talking with Gabe, just an overview of what the things that we saw in high school sports, and a lot of shout-outs to some of the top teams out there. and we're going to run it back at the top of hour number two. Gabe and I are going to be – we got boys teams of the year that we're going to announce, girls teams of the year, athletes of the year, some of our top games that we were able to witness this year. So that's going to be coming up after the 11 o'clock hour. At the bottom of hour number two, and, you know, for the last 41 weeks here on the Central Valley Sports Report, we have named a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. And that has just been an absolute joy to get to know these kids. And it's a big thrill for them. And, you know, they get a T-shirt and, you know, we treat them right. And, we give them lanyards and stickers and we hook them up with some swag and, you know, blast their picture out on social media. And so that's been a big highlight for the student athletes. So we have Jeremiah Walker on from Central. You may have heard about Jeremiah and his incredible run that he had at the CIF state track and field meet a couple weeks ago. You know, I'm really looking forward to talking to him, get his perspective, because he was injured. His team needed points to win the overall state championship. And, yeah, sure enough, he clutched up. And so looking forward to talking to Jeremiah. He's also the 400 champ, got second in 200. So that will be coming up at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. Next year, talking about next year, again, Central Valley Sports Report is going to return on August 14th, but we are going to hit the high school scene even harder than this last year. We're going to be broadcasting tons of football games every Friday night. Every Friday night we're going to be broadcasting a game. The schedule is pretty much set already, and so we're really excited to announce the schedule. I think that first week we're going to do a Thursday and a Friday game. Yeah, again, 1430 has had a concentrated effort to bring you all the hot high school action, and we are going even more hardcore next year. Speaking of high school football, City County football is going to be at McLean Stadium on Friday, June 17th, broadcasted by 1430. Yeah, Gabe Camarino and I are going to be on that call. And I got to tell you, the City County Twitter account has been on fire, man. They make edits, which is a graphic of the players for each player. And they've been tweeting out for the last 3 weeks. So that's really neat for the kids. But City County football has always been a huge deal, and they're really making a concentrated effort to bring it back to its former glory. And I want to mention one story that tugged at the heartstrings a lot, and that is Rocky Reyes from Buchanan. Was on the football team, was actually selected to be on the City County football roster, was on the baseball team, and he was diagnosed with leukemia a few weeks back. And you know, when one of our kids in the central section suffers, you know, we all rally around and we all feel the pain and we all step in and do our part. And the community has really stepped up with Rocky Reyes and the Reyes family. He's going through treatment right now, and it's beating him up. And I know a lot of people have donated blood and donated whatever they can to help Rocky. And 2 days ago on Thursday, he got a special visit from Derek Carr at Valley Children's Hospital. And Dad JoJo posted it on social media. They actually have a Caring Bridge webpage that you guys could visit. But, yeah, what a special moment. Special moment for Derek Carr to visit Rocky and Rocky and give him some encouragement. But yeah, that's and because what an awful time for the family. But you know, when somebody is hurting and people rally around it, that's what it's about. And life, you know, has lots of ups and downs, and we've all experienced that throughout the years. But yeah, what a special moment for Derek to visit Rocky, and we definitely wish him luck and prayers up to the Reyes family. You know, wrapping up softball a little bit. You know, after my show, there were some softball championship games, and if you guys didn't see what the incredible game that Carruthers had last week against Napomo in the D5 SoCal Regional Championship, that Carruthers won on a walk off hit. They won 6-5. Yeah, that was just a phenomenal game. And we might be talking about that a little bit more with Gabe Camarillo. But congrats to them. And Orange Cove, I want to give a shout-out to their softball team. They defeated Menachie 8-6 to win D4. And then Clovis High, incredible softball run that they had. They made it to the NorCal Finals in D1 and ran into the number one team in the state, St. Francis. And they lost 6-0. I think it was a 2-0 game late, and then St. Francis added a few runs. But yeah, just incredible season for Clovis softball. That St. Francis team was loaded. Cal High Sports, number one team. They said they were one of the best teams up and down the state in the last like 4 or 5 years. So anyway, congrats to Clovis High for having an amazing season. And before we hit the break here, I want to mention the incredible season that Brock Jones of Stanford is having. Brock Jones is a Buchanan grad. If you guys didn't see that game against Texas State, it was the final game of before the Super Regionals, and Texas State went it up 3-1. Stanford got 2 solo homers to start off the inning and ended up with a walk-off hit. They actually walked Brock Jones intentionally because they didn't want to pitch to him with the winning run on second base. But congrats to Brock Jones and Stanford. They're playing UConn in the Super Regional, and that starts tonight, I think 7 or 7:30. And I believe it will be on ESPN as well, ESPN News or ESPN Plus. So, yeah, Brock Jones projected to be a high draft pick in the Major League Baseball draft this year, which will be in a couple weeks. Make sure you guys check that out. All right, coming up after the break, I'm going to be having a conversation with Yosef Ferris from Justin Garza High School about this incredible opportunity that he has, an internship with the Atlanta Falcons, coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
If you change your mind,
take a chance,
on the
take a chance,
in line.
Take a chance, take a chance,
honey,
take a chance,
free.
Chance, take a chance,
take
a chance,
take a chance,
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 take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance, chance, take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. Like I mentioned in my opening, this is the last show this summer before we start back up in August. And this has been, just a year in review. Gabe Camarillo and I will later be talking about our favorite moments of the season, of the school year, and some of our top teams and top players and all that fun stuff. But I saw this tweet on Twitter, obviously, and it really, really caught my attention. And it's from Justin Garza head coach Yosef Ferris, who's been on the show before and is just an awesome guy, an up-and-coming coach, well-respected throughout the Central section in regards to football. This team will be playing varsity football for the first time this season, and I saw this tweet about a great opportunity that he got, and, man, I'm like, oh, I got to have Yosef on the show for sure. This is such a great moment. So, first of all, my friend, welcome back to the show, and how you doing?
Thank you, Paul. No, I'm doing great. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you for having me. Anytime I get to come talk to you, it's always a great experience, and just thank you again for just having me on the show.
Yeah, you bet, and likewise. So I'm going to read the tweet that you sent out, and then I'll let you explain exactly the opportunity that you have and what you think that entails at this moment. You have been selected as the NFL Bill Walsh Minority Intern for the Atlanta Falcons training camp and will be in the DB room for 3 weeks. Again, congratulations on that. The tweet is getting a lot of reaction from coaches around the Central section. This is just a cool deal. So what you know right now of that internship, what does that entail? Will you be shadowing coaches? Will you be taking notes? Obviously, you're going to be asking tons of questions, but right now, what do you think that entails?
Yeah, so, you know, speaking with the Atlanta Falcons and speaking with Marquise Williams, who's kind of the head of the Bill Walsh internship over there, I'll be in the defensive back room where I'll be shadowing John Hoke, you know, Brady Hoke's brother, and his assistant, Nick Perry, who was a graduate assistant at Alabama and played defensive back there at Alabama. And so I'll be in that room working with those two, shadowing them, doing whatever they need, if it's from film breakdown to practice breakdown to drawing scout cards to getting them coffee, whatever they need I'm going in there humbled. I'm going in there willing to do whatever is asked of me. Learn as much as possible so I can bring it back to my program over here.
Well, it seems like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, you know, you talked about your expectations and how you want to bring information back to the program. But I mean, and I think you got a meeting next Wednesday or more informational meeting about all this entails, but are you just going in with an open mind, or do you have a certain amount of expectations? Are you going to go in wide-eyed? What does that look like, you think?
Yeah, I'm going in wide-eyed. I have no idea what to expect. You know, I've been coaching for 21 years, and this is like my first like big break to get to the next level. You know, I've had opportunities to be a graduate assistant. I turned those down. The college life just didn't seem right for me at the moment, especially with the family and all the recruiting that you got to do on the road. And, you know, the NFL has always been the dream. And so to have the opportunity to just touch the game at the elite level, is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so I'm going in, obviously I'm going to work my tail off. I'm going to go in there. I'm a competitor. I'm going to do whatever they ask of me. I'm going to try to leave an impression on everybody that I meet. And, you know, everything's in God's hands. This is obviously something that God put in my path. And I don't know. I'm just kind of on this ride, just enjoying it.
Well, you talked about gathering this information and taking back to your program. And I mean, are there certain concepts that you're looking for? You know, you're a defensive guy and you'd be working with DBs and special teams, but do you think it's going to be just next level information that you're going to be able to take back to your coaches and maybe try to implement some of this stuff?
Yeah, I do think there's going to be some next level information. You know, Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator there. Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator for Nick Saban at Tulsa. He was the defensive coordinator for Nick Saban at Michigan State. He was the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. He was the defensive coordinator for Harbaugh when they won a Super Bowl. So the amount of knowledge that's in that defensive room, especially me being such a Nick Saban fan and just studying those defenses and getting to work with Nick Perry, who's the assistant defensive back coach who was at Alabama with Coach Saban. I mean, I am like freaking Charlie in the Chocolate Factory walking into Willy Wonka's deal. You know what I mean? I'm just there.
I know exactly what you mean. That's so funny that you should mention that book. I'm teaching summer school, and that is the book that we're reading right now. So, man, Charlie just found his golden ticket, and he's about to go into Wonka's factory as well. So, man, that's a great analogy that you used there. Good timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's great.
So you
mentioned Marquise Williams, the special teams coordinator there at the Atlanta Falcons. So you already have a relationship with this guy, right? You played football with him at Bullard?
Yeah, I did. I've grown up with Marquise. Marquise went to the same elementary school as me, Fig Garden Elementary. We grew up, went to Tenaya, went to Bullard, played football for Bullard High School. He was our quarterback my senior year. He was a junior. Then he went off and played at St. Mary's, and then went on to become a D-line coach at South Dakota State. He went through the Bill Walsh internship three times, got his first job with the Chargers as a special teams assistant. Then he went to the Lions with Matt Patricia and became an outside linebacker coach there. And then he got hired as a special teams coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. And me and him have stayed in touch ever since we were little. And I coached both of his brothers at Bullard, Thomas Williams and Brandon Williams. I have a good relationship with the family. And it's just, you know, again, it's just one of those things. You know, God puts people in your path that are just – It's just amazing. I don't even know how to explain it, Paul. It's just, you know, one of those things that you can see that there's some work being done for you behind the scenes. And Marquise, I called Marquise, asked him to speak to our team because we were doing a speaker series. And he said, look, I want to talk to you about something else. Yeah. I want you to apply for this NFL internship. And he's been telling me to apply for this internship for maybe the last 10 years. And I just never thought that it was possible. Being that I never played college football or sniffed the NFL, and just didn't think that this was something for a guy like me. And, you know, Marquise has seen me coach. Marquise has been around me for these years, and he's like, you know, Ferris, I know you can do this. Trust me. You would be amazed. You would be amazed at how well you could coach at any level. And so he just kind of just said, you have to do this time. That's it, you know? And
well,
I put my name in. I applied for the internship through the NFL, and I went through two interviews. And the second interview, I had to install or present a scheme or a schematic presentation to the NFL staff, which was extremely nerve-wracking. And
did you do it through
afterwards?
Did you do it through FaceTime, or how'd you do that?
We did that on Zoom.
Or Zoom? A Zoom, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so that was a very nerve-wracking situation, having to talk football with an NFL staff.
Oh, God. I bet. But, yeah. Going back to Yosef, how, you know, there's certain times in life when you just know when something's right. And so there was definitely a plan in there in place for you after, you know, nah, it's not for me right now. For now at this time for you to intern for the Atlanta Falcons. But when is it going to start? When do you take off? What does that look like?
So I will fly out of San Francisco on July 26th. It'll be a nonstop flight. My flight leaves at 6 a.m. And then I'll get in Atlanta and I'll go straight to the facility and we'll start all the process or whatever I need to do then. And then I will be with the team for 3 weeks. I'll fly with them out to Detroit on August 11th. And that'll be their first preseason game. And then we'll play August 12th against the Lions. And then I will be on a plane back to Fresno August 13th.
But you got a game soon too, don't you? When's your first Guardians game?
I do. So our first Guardian game will be August 19th. So I will come back for that first week.
Oh, man. What a whirlwind that's going to be for you. And I know your admin has been, you know, very helpful with this and with the blessings of all your family as well. And then your other coaching staff, I'm sure.
Yeah, the admin has been extremely supportive. Hovid Tarigan, my athletic director, Jared Pittman, my district athletic director, Jack Kalesian, and Katie Davis, and, you know, my principal, and just even my PE staff, my parents, my booster club parents, and all my parents have been extremely supportive. And my kids are so fired up for me. I love it. They're just so happy for me. And I have nothing but support from the people that matter in this area for me. And it's an exciting time.
Sure. You're going to be texting your wife or, you know, doing some FaceTiming with your own kids and showing them around the, you know, what the facility looks like. I'm sure that's going to be a big hit for your kids as well. But what, you know, do you think they're going to allow you to show what, you know, some of your ideas in front of the staff or at staff meetings or, you know, DB meetings? Are they going to allow you to have the floor anytime? Or are you just like, again, like whatever comes, I'm ready for anything.
Yeah. You know, whatever comes, I am nothing but a midget standing on the shoulder of giants when I walk in there, you know? And so I'm there to learn. I'm there to just make a network, make connections, make relationships. You know, you just never know who could help you with your career, who could help, you know, get you to the next level if that's what I want to do. It's just a huge opportunity, and I'm going in there humbled, and I'm just going in there wanting to learn, and I'm not going in there with any ego at all. I don't need to show them anything, you know. I'm just there to learn. I'm going to be a sponge.
Yeah, well, you are a sponge. You love to crunch anything and everything possible with football. I know you're going to do great things, man. I can't wait to hear your stories when you come back about that experience. I'm sure you'll put a couple things out there on social media and say, guys, I'm here, check it out. So I can't wait to see all that stuff and maybe even shoot you a text or two and bug you and see if you could throw me any fun little nuggets of information and see how things are going for you. But Yosef, this is exciting, but I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about your schedule as well for next year for the inaugural varsity season for Justin Garza high school. What are your first couple games look like, and then what league are you playing in?
Yeah, so we're excited. We're going to be playing in the CMAC, so we'll be going through that CMAC grind that I'm very familiar with. Our first game is against Emmanuel, and that will be a televised game. That'll be the first televised game of the year, so that's an exciting thing for our campus. But we'll start off with Emmanuel, and then we will go to Stone Ridge Christian, and then we will come back and we will play Sanger West at Collegian Stadium, and then we will go up north to Sonora. We will play Sonora, and then we will come back and play Kalinga at Collegian Stadium. Then we're going to have a bye, and then we'll get right into the CMAC, and it'll go Sanger, Bullard, Edison, Memorial, Madera. And then, depending on how we do with that season, we'll either be in the Division III playoffs or the Division IV.
Got it. So thrown into the fire with the CMAC, and obviously you're very familiar with Bullard being playing there and then coaching there as well. And then, I got a lot of connections to Emmanuel with Emmanuel's program as well. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye on that first game. Heck, who knows? I might even show up there and watch you guys play. But, when you and I get together, I can't leave a conversation without a little bit of Star Wars talk. You know, I talk a little bit about Star Wars on my show. I mentioned like Top Gun last week, how great of a movie it was. But there's that new series, Obi-Wan, that just premiered on Disney Plus. So what do you give that right now, Jan? You give it a couple thumbs up. What are you thinking about that?
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm such a fanboy of it. I give it 2 thumbs up. I think they're doing a tremendous job with it. I love the little Leia and how they're presenting her. She's one of my favorite characters throughout the Star Wars movies and the Star Wars books, and just the strength she has, and just to see it as a young girl reminds me of my daughter. My wife and I both watched the first 2 episodes and got chills just thinking of just watching the little Leia and thinking of our young daughter. End of episode 3 with the, I'm not giving any spoilers, but the end of episode 3 where you get something.
Yeah
you get
epic.
Something that you've been
it's
waiting
epic.
For a long time. It's exciting. I have not watched episode 4. I was watching it today, and we had made that post on Instagram, and I started getting a lot of text and responses that I couldn't focus the way I wanted to, so I just turned it off. I'll give that a watch tomorrow.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I got it on my agenda. And when I saw that tweet from you about this opportunity to be an intern in the NFL, I'm like, oh man, I got to call Yosef first of all, and then got to have him on the show. So yeah, thanks my friend, and I appreciate you jumping on short notice here on the Central Valley Sports Report. And I can't wait to hear a report back from you, and you have the time of your life, my friend.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'll definitely keep you in touch and let you know what's going on.
You bet. That was Yosef Ferris, Justin Garza High School head football coach, who's headed to the NFL and an intern. So very excited for him. All right, coming up after the break, more from the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just had a really good conversation with Yosef Ferris. Just an incredible guy, as you guys can tell. Just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Again, I want to reiterate that he's not leaving Justin Garza High School, right? He's fully committed to the program there and building that program up. It's on the campus of Central High. He's just interning for a few weeks with the Atlanta Falcons. It's through a Bill Walsh grant. He's going to have the time of his life there. So, yeah, I want to reiterate that, he's not leaving Justin Garza High School. He's fully committed. He's going to build that program. It's going to be exciting to see. But, yeah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. So, he doesn't want to have any second second guesses, you know, throughout the rest of his life or any regrets. So, yeah, he's going full steam ahead with that. So we're going to be bringing Gabe Camarillo right now. We're gonna for the next two segments, I'm going to be kind of wrapping up the year that was in high school sports in the Central Section, how some of our teams did, you know, in the state playoffs and some of our Central Section teams. We have a few of our own little personal awards that we're going to announce after the 11 o'clock hour. But, yeah, Gabe, I'm going to bring you in right now. How the heck are we going to review Central Section high school sports in the next 60 minutes, right? But we're going to give it our shot before we give our teams of the year and our players of the year. But, yeah, Gabe, I mean, this has just been a lot of fun, first of all, here at 1430 ESPN. And I know you have your new show in the afternoons, and, yeah, you're hitting it hard. And once the year starts up again, you know, you'll be getting it after it. But, yeah, what is the best way just to wrap up how Central Section sports went this year?
There really is no best way. I mean, it's inevitable that we're going to leave someone out, and we shouldn't leave anybody out. I mean, there's been so many performers that have stood out at the highest level, just a PSA of sorts. If we don't say your name today, that doesn't mean you weren't the best in your sport. I mean, we have our own individual awards that we're going to come out with next hour, Paul, and we're going to talk about the highlights and the stars that were in the 2021-22 Central Section sports season. But we can't get everybody. I feel sad only because there's so many great stuff and we only have, 16 minutes? Is it even possible to do this?
Well, I was talking to Jorge here at First String Sports off air, and I'm like, man, whenever I do my openings, I feel like I got to get through all this information. I got to let everybody know, and I got to get all these names out. And then when I'm done, I'm like, oh, I needed more time because I felt bad because I wasn't able to mention this team or this school or this player. So, yeah, again, we – you know, if we had, you know, all day to do something like this, we'd probably miss a few too. But, yeah, Gabe, I think, first of all, for me, just being back on schedule, you know, with COVID and with games being canceled and postponed, and gosh, it wasn't that long ago that they would be up to the night before a football game where they didn't know if they were going to be able to have a game. Right, whether it's players that might have tested positive for COVID or they're waiting for COVID tests. We've heard crazy stories over the last year and a half about that. But for me, just having games on schedule, having our football, basketball, soccer, you know, winter sports, then now moving to spring was a huge deal.
Did you even realize that we played two football seasons last year? We played one in the spring. That was a six-game season for most. And then we had the full 10-game plus postseason slate in the fall. To me, that is the most – I almost forget about sometimes the spring football season because it was just so abrupt. All of a sudden, here we were off and running. And, you know, last year, if we recap the year, we probably would have said it was great we got high school sports in. But this was, Paul, the first normal high school sports season. Ever since COVID broke out, it's been anything but normal. I think for many people here in the Central Valley, high school sports helped bring a return, a sense of normalcy.
No, absolutely. And then in football, you know, we broadcasted lots of games. We saw lots of teams, and you know, Liberty stood tall this year. You know, Coach Brian Nixon there does a phenomenal job. You think of Jordan Love when they won their section title against Clovis, and they had a tough team, man. And a lot of coaches around the Central Section and D1 were saying, "Hey, Liberty, even though they might not be one of the top two or three seeds, that I'm really, really scared of that team. They got some dudes, and they proved that they were the best team in the section this year."
I think there's a debate probably going on right now in Bakersfield, which Liberty team was better, 2015 or this year's. And I think time will tell on this year's, because that 2015 team with Jordan Love and a linebacker that's now in the NFL, that's pretty tough to beat. So I think if you look at this year's Liberty team, what made them so great, why did they beat three track teams to get to the title? Having watched that playoff run up close, I could say they were a full team, man. Just like other Bakersfield schools we'll talk about in this segment, they were just a complete unit. They had no weakness. They were strong up front. They had a D1 guy in Jason Oliver and a couple other skill position players that were just so good. Watching them beat Central, and not just beat Central, but really manhandled them. I mean, the score was 35-0 in the second quarter. Yeah. It was really shocking, but it was one of the most dominant performances by any team we saw this season.
And Bullard had a really good season as well in football. That game against Bakersfield for the D2 championship at McLean Stadium. That was a lot of fun and a lot of points in that game. Athletes all over the field. And I know Bullard wanted to be in D1. Coach Arax wanted to be in D1, but that was one of the hot topics too, Gabe, that it seemed like every show we'd spend about 10 minutes talking about the playoff system and how wonky it was and max preps and nobody understood it and everybody was ranting and raving. And so, yeah, Bullard in D2 and Bakersfield in D2, you know, it was just different. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, the playoff system has been a hot topic, and I know you had a great conversation with Commissioner Ryan Toss, our Central Section Commissioner, earlier in the week on your show. They're always tweaking things, right? And they're having meetings, and there's no perfect playoff system, but that was definitely one of the hot topics this year too.
Every major sport had some type of controversy, if I'm not mistaken. In basketball, it was the girls open with Napomo being the 4 seed. In football, as you mentioned, there were multiple. Dos Palos being in Division 2, Bullard being in Division 2, along with Bakersfield. You know, CVC being in Division 3, even like CVC, we'll talk about them as the D3 champion. But the fact that someone can go from the 16th seed in D2 to the 1 seed in D3 just like that, or it used to be like that, now we have base divisions. But it, for football, it was really tough because there was no limit to how far you could fall if you're a high D1 team, or how fast or how high you can rise if you're a overachieving D4, D5 school.
And something that was brought up a couple weeks ago was the fact that, you know, Bullard and Kingsburg met in the semifinals. Bullard was the 1, Kingsburg was the 4, and Bullard has around 2,500 students, and Kingsburg has 1,000. So Kingsburg had a really good team. And, yeah, they did, if you look back at it, they did get punished for having a really good season. And then basketball, Gabe, and Clovis West, right? Clovis West basketball, their boys and girls teams this past year, were a combined 59-6. 59-6. If you went to a doubleheader for Clovis West boys and girls teams, you were most likely going to see a win. Right? Both of those teams coached by Vance Wahlberg and Craig Campbell, they were the toast of the town in basketball. And both teams play with such energy, such precision. They hustle all over the court. They play with pride and respect, and there's no, you know, thumping chest, and there's no making weird signs on the court. They're just all business out there, and they are super, super fun to watch. And both Central Section champions made runs in the state playoffs as well. But, yeah, Clovis West, they are definitely the gold standard in basketball.
And they've been the gold standard for a while. Just thinking about their league winning streaks, I think Clovis West won there. 5th or 6th straight boys track title, and then the girls are in the 10s right now when it comes to track titles in a row. They dominate the teams here in the area. They challenge themselves playing out of area competition. Hopefully we'll see more of that this upcoming year, because Paul, we were talking about it a couple of days ago. I think next year's Clovis West team is just going to be as good as this year's Clovis West team, and that's saying a lot, because we're going to talk about how good this past version of the Golden Eagles were.
Yeah, you know, they're basically graduating just a couple seniors, and they had a really good sophomore class, and they had a really good freshman last year. And I heard that Kasner had, you know, they're going to reload. There might be a couple more freshmen on varsity next year, talking about the boys. And then with Coach Craig Campbell there, they're a national power. All right, let's be honest. They're Clovis West girls are a national power. Obviously, they got that 2017 state open championship, and you know, a team that is probably the greatest girls basketball team of all time. You think of the San Joaquin Memorial girls back in the day, and you think about that incredible Hanford team. But yeah, I think that 2017 Clovis West girls team is the best. And you know, Clovis West is reloading. Coach Craig Campbell does an incredible job. And then we go, soccer. Reedley had that great story, right? The Reedley boys soccer had that great run through the Central Section playoffs as an 8 seed, I believe, right? And went on and upset a lot of teams. So great story there with Reedley boys soccer. And then baseball. Gabe, we went to a lot of baseball games this year, and the Buchanan baseball team was the talk of the town, and because they had a class that as sophomores, a lot of them were up on varsity. I think at that time the COVID hit and shut down the season, there were 5 sophomores that were starting. and those kids were seniors this year, and they played the part throughout the regular season, where they were ranked as high as number one in the state by Cal High Sports when they lost that shocker to Frontier in the first round of the playoffs. But Buchanan had a really good season until the playoffs. But Stockdale, you know, everyone just kind of like with Liberty in football, like Stockdale's got some dudes. Stockdale's got some really good players, including Austin Charles. But, yeah, Stockdale proved that they were the top team. And then in the D2 championship game, Clovis East beat Central in a track matchup that was one of the top games of the year.
Yeah, first about Stockdale, kind of like what I said about Liberty, just a complete team, not really a hole in their lineup, and pitching-wise, they were stacked. People really wanted to see Buchanan versus Stockdale, and I was right up there with them. I think if you just take the regular season and just the even level of competition here in the area, that's a success. Now, if you look at the playoff record, right, Fresno teams went 0-4 all on the same day. I don't think we'll ever see something like that again in baseball playoffs, so take this baseball season for what it was. All year it was wild, right down to the last day of competition.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be honest, right? We are right in the heart of the Central Valley. A lot of our listeners are in Fresno, Clovis. When those D1 teams lost in baseball, we're like, oh my gosh, really? You know, no disrespect to the teams that won. Obviously, they earned it, and you know, the Fresno Clovis teams didn't show up in Division I. But yeah, that was a little bit of a shocker to us, and took my breath away. But so congrats again to Clovis East. That was a really, really fun baseball game against Central there at Pete Mine Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. And Bakersfield won the D3 title as a 13 seed. So, again, Gabe, there's that talk about these big schools moving down in divisions, and Bakersfield has, you know, 3,000 kids in their school, and they're playing in Division III as a 13 seed, and those guys are battle-tested. So, you know, they won the D3 championship. But Madera South was a great story in D4 with Murph Gray as their star player. Headed to Fresno State. He's been on the show. Just an incredible kid. And Coach Alan Sandoval does a great job at Madera South. So congrats to Madera South for winning D4. Kennedy won D5 and Mendota in D6. But yeah, that, you know, these playoff games are, you know, first of all, they're a lot of fun. And, you know, like we've also said on the show, Gabe, and you and I have talked about this, you just play the games that are in front of you, right? And that's one thing that I think gets lost is, you know, a lot of the adults complain about playoff systems and what's fair and what's not fair. But the kids are like, shoot, we just want to play baseball, right? And those teams that won the championships, they definitely deserve it.
I think if you keep an open-minded approach to this playoff system, it did deliver some interesting matchups. Maybe matchups that do favor the big schools. I mean, I'm thinking of Division II baseball, for instance. Fresno High had a great year. I think well over 20 wins, almost 25, and their reward is a road game at Clovis High School in Division II. It's like some small schools got the short end of the stick, but if you look at this overall, football, you saw some great games. I mentioned CBC being in D3 because they were at the cusp, Paul. Like at the last, heading into the last week, they were the 16th seed in D2. They lost the last week. They became the 1 seed in D3. People didn't like that, but I do think it delivered overall Valley champions. Liberty was a Valley champion. They beat the best teams to get there. Any playoff system that gives me a winner that definitely earned that title is a good playoff system.
And in softball, Clovis North was the talk of the town, and deservedly so. They're 19-0 at one point, number one in the state, number three in the nation. Ryan Maddox was just a pitching monster. She was well on her way to being named Miss Softball by Cal High Sports. And she's actually one of the five finalists. I want to say that. She did still put up some really gaudy numbers, but she got hurt, and Clovis Softball got hot at the right time. Coach Mike Noel does a phenomenal job. I believe that's the program's 11th overall Central Section champion. But, yeah, congrats to Clovis North. And we mentioned that incredible game against Carruthers. That game that you were there as well, right, Gabe?
Yeah, that's a candidate for game of the year right there, just because you had two Central Section teams playing for a regional title. In fact, softball, shout out to them, almost every section champion ended up playing for a regional championship, which is really cool. But, you know, that game, Carruthers down 5-2, bottom of the fifth, crazy atmosphere. People are hanging off the fences to watch this game from the neighborhood. It was awesome softball that day. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Track and field. An incredible showing by our Central Section athletes. Eight 25% of the gold medals that were handed out, 8 of them were from the Central section. We'll be talking with Jeremiah Walker at the bottom of hour number two, and Coach Pulliam as well. But, yeah, you know, 8 golds is awesome. The Central boys team winning the team title was incredible. But, yeah, lots of stories on that, Gabe. Can you give a tiny bit of review? Because I know you were there. I was at the Clovis softball game. But what an incredible showing by our Central section athletes at the state track meet.
It was awesome because we were back there for the first time since COVID broke out. And a lot of seniors like Takaya Sensi and Fayo Ukani, you know, this was their last chance to really show what they can bring at the state level, and they brought it. Fayo Lucani, Clovis East thrower, got the gold in the girls' shot put. Takaya Sensi, you had her on the show last week. She was marvelous. First place in the 400 by a mile. Well, not literally a mile, but it's a bigger speech. Yes, she won by a lot. The 4x4, the anchor relay, she was able to snatch the first place runner from Long Beach Wilson. She took first place. Clovis North took second overall in the girls' team standings. And then the Central boys track team took home the whole enchilada, the track team championship for state. And I got to tell you, you're going to interview a very, very good runner at the 11:30 mark in the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Jeremiah Walker. All right, Gabe, good job by you. Gabe Camarillo, you can follow him at Gabe Camarillo. Don't forget that underscore at the end. I don't mention that, but you just go into the search bar on Twitter account, look up Gabe. You could follow him. You could also follow me at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors. You could also, if you miss any shows here on the Central Valley Sports Report or our other shows, you can go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website and download the shows. Last week, I had Adrian Martinez on the show, and that was a phenomenal interview. So if you want to go back and listen to the interview with Adrian, go back to the website, download under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, and the date that it was last week, which would have been June 4th. You can listen to that episode. All right, coming up, Gabe and I are going to be running it back. We're going to be talking about the best of what we saw, breaking down things a little bit more here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Meadors, here at 1430 ESPN. At First String Sports, the place to be, definitely. Love these guys over here. They've been my day one sponsors, man. This is my last show of the school year before we start it back up on August 14th. But I remember my first show. Oh, man, I was actually on the opposite side. The tables were turned the other way. Now I'm facing towards a wall with the color options. But, oh, God, I was nervous that first show. I had a podcast, a Clovis Sports Report podcast for about a year. And, you know, that's just that's a podcast. It's, you know, you could edit that and you could put in different sound effects. But I remember my first show, and, you know, once I heard the intro music, it was like, oh, there's no turning back now. I am fully committed. The words that are coming out of my mouth are, I can't take them back, man. So I remember that time, the first show back in August, and, you know, 42 shows later where, you know, I hope I do a pretty good job. You know, like Gabe and I were talking about, it's tough because we want to mention so much. We got the whole Central Valley to talk about. We feel, and I feel almost on one hand a burden. I write down tons of notes, and I write down kids' names and their stats, and sometimes I don't get to it. I feel bad, but yeah, I mean the Central section is vast, and it's, you know, there's a lot of great stories here. And so we try our best here at 1430 to bring you everything that we can. And Gabe Camarillo and I, Gabe does a phenomenal job producing the show and has his own show as well now from 3 to 5, Home Field Advantage. So you guys definitely check that out. Gabe and I, we talk all the time about Central Section sports, and we text each other pretty much every day about what's going on. And you know, did you hear this guy might be transferring, or this, you know, this school might be looking for a new coach. So we wrapped up, you know, the best we could, some of the highlights. And now Gabe and I are going to be talking about our boys teams of the year, our girls teams of the year, athletes of the year, just a kid that not only exemplified athletics on the field, but off the field, where the coaches you know, had rave reviews about him. Where other coaches said good things about them. So, Gabe, let's talk about some of our favorite, you know, teams of the year. I'll give you the first one here. Boys team of the year. Who do you got?
Boys team of the year. Well, we talked about this a little bit, and there's a lot of great choices. Obviously, Bakersfield won a lot in the Valley, and we want to focus in this show about Fresno Clovis. But one team that does deserve our recognition for boys team of the year is Stockdale Baseball. Now, this is probably the only time you'll hear me give this word to a Bakersfield school, just because there was so much hype around them, and they lived up to it. We heard about Austin Charles, a future MLB ball player. We heard about Ryan Featherston and Ruben Rodriguez and just all of their guys that were studs, and they beat the teams that were in front of them. They and Buchanan were the top two teams in the Valley throughout the regular season, and they fulfilled the promise that people have made in Bakersfield since this senior class was young. They said, wait till the Stockdale class of 2022. They're going to bring a baseball title back to Bakersfield, and they did that. So for the one time, a Bakersfield school gets team of the year for me.
All right, Gabe, we'll give that one to you. Stockdale, yeah, they definitely had a really good baseball team. And, man, that just, you know, in the what could have been category, I think that Stockdale and Buchanan potential matchup in the D1 final would have been pretty darn epic. But, alas, that did not come to fruition. All right, my boys' team of the year, talked about them a tiny bit in our segment last hour, but for me, it was the Clovis West boys basketball team. They went 31-2 this year. They only had one loss before their loss to Modesto Christian in the open state playoffs. But their one loss was because three of their top players were out because of COVID symptoms. And I would assume that they would have won that game with their top three guys. But, you know, the Central Section Open champs, their only loss was that home game to Modesto Christian. After that loss in the tournament was 48-44. And that same Modesto Christian then went to the Open State Championship game and almost beat Centennial Corona, almost beat those guys, right? And so that just shows how close Clovis West was to being one of the top basketball teams in the state. And we know how good basketball is in California. We got NBA guys all over the place, right? You think of the SoCal teams that have dudes that are coming off the bench, 6'7", 6'8", and you're dunking, and you're like, oh, that guy's not even a starter, comes off the bench. So, you know, SoCal is a different animal. For Clovis West to be mentioned among the top teams in the state just says a lot about Coach Vance Wahlberg and his coaching staff and how hard the kids play. Now, if you think about the team with Tyrus Paris Tillman, he was probably their best player, especially down the stretch. The kid played amazing. 6'8", headed to Biola. Remember it last year, he didn't play all year after recovering from an ACL injury. So that guy was clutch in the last couple months of the year. And he was their tallest guy easily that got meaningful minutes. Isaac Martinez, Marcel Sanders, Jackson Young, Trey Carr. Trey Carr didn't get a lot of hype, but that kid, again, like Tyrus Paris Tillman, started to tear it up towards the end of the year. Trey Carr was named the Clovis West Athlete of the Year, so congrats to him. But Coach Vance Wahlberg, you know what you're going to get. You know the product that you're going to see out on the court. Just nonstop, just come at you. And it didn't matter how much they were down. We saw that three different games, down by 20 points, and stormed back. We're going to be getting into one of their great comeback games later. But for me, Clovis West boys basketball, unbelievable this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. That would be my top choice, my ABC, just like the Stockdale baseball team is my top choice. And I also want to add, can we have my Gabe co-teams of the year? Because the Central 4x1 relay went undefeated throughout its season, and they won state, a big part of why the whole Central track team won the team championship. So can I say Central boys 4x1 is a co-team of the year with Stockdale?
Yeah, well, you just said it. Yeah, so you can't take it back. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, no, I'm totally fine with that. Yeah, Central Track had a phenomenal year as well. And, you know, when you're number one in the state, we talk about Clovis West winning one of the top teams in the state. I think they finished eighth in the state by Cal High Sports. But, yeah, Central Track and Field, number one in the state, no doubt about it. All right, girls team of the year. I'll go first, Gabe, on this one, and then you could talk about your girls team of the year. But for me, it's Clovis softball. They finished 27-7, D1 Central Section champs. They lost to the St. Francis team that we talked about, was number one in the state. Lauren Caronco, their pitcher, was just on fire towards the end of the year. She had four shutouts in a row. Throughout the playoffs, shutout Central for the D1 championship game. Brooke Brazil played an amazing shortstop for Clovis. Defensively, she was incredible. Ashley Rocha at second base made incredible plays down the stretch. There was one play that actually made it on the news where Rocha caught with her back to home plate, rushed out in center field and caught a ball that would have been an RBI and a run for the other team. But yeah. Coach Mike Noel, he's been on my show, he's been on your show. He's a Central Section legend as well, and just a humble guy. I mean, just – I can't say enough good things about Coach Mike Noel. Clovis West Hall of Famer, played football and baseball at Fresno State, played in two World Series, College World Series for Fresno State. You know, he's got it going on over there at Clovis High. But for me, Clovis softball, girls team of the year.
And for me, it'd be Clovis West girls basketball, because this year they were really young. I mean, their best players were a junior and a sophomore, Toya Montgomery and Athena Tomlinson, and they were graduating five seniors from a year ago. And those were really good seniors like Kendall Jackson and Nikki Tom, who is right now playing at UC Irvine. That was a tough group to replace, but somehow this year's Clovis West Golden Eagles girls basketball team managed to replace it with a bevy of different contributors. You had freshmen like Riley Walls, upperclassmen like Kennedy Vincent doing the dirty work down low, getting rebounds, and then Atoya and Athena were so fabulous. We kind of, at this point, it's almost criminal how much we take Clovis West girls basketball for granted, because all they do is win, and every time they win, they earn more and more notoriety as one of the best girls basketball programs, not just in California, but in the country. So they are my girls team of the year.
Yeah, they're going to be reloaded for next year as well. Hey, good call there, Gabe. Both of those girls' teams had phenomenal seasons, and to me, they are the gold standard programs for girls in our Central Section. All right, boys athlete of the year. Oh my gosh, how tough was this? Right, there's lots of phenomenal athletes out there. Who you got, Gabe, for your boys athlete of the year?
All right. So I had co-teams of the year. I'm going to do co-athletes of the year. Jeremiah Walker of Central, the great young man you're going to get to talk to in a couple of minutes, he is my co-athlete of the year, because he just told me a couple days ago when he was on my show, he actually did tear his hamstring during the 4x1 relay, which is the first race of the day. So yes, he won the 400 on a tore hamstring. He raced in the 200, got sixth place, which is still enough points in order to make a difference, and then he ran the anchor leg in the 4x4. You'll hear all about it in a couple of minutes, but once you hear that story, Paul, you'll understand why he's the co-athlete of the year alongside Tyus Parrish Tillman. Tyus Parrish Tillman did a great job throughout the year on the Central Section's best boys basketball team. He rose to the occasion several times. For instance, in the Central Section Open Division Final, when St. Joseph was up by 20 in the third, I saw a switch flip inside of Tyus Parrish Tillman. That's the moment he secured his co-athlete of the year award with me.
Hey, good call. No argument there. And my guy is Joseph Hunter from San Joaquin Memorial. JoJo Hunter, it's an incredible career as a Panther, four-year starter. This year, averaged 30 points a game. We talk about Cal High Sports, and they do a phenomenal job up and down the state. And JoJo was – I thought he should have won it, right? There are a lot of really good basketball players in California. He was one of the top five for Mr. Basketball. But, yeah, he is my guy. And I've watched that kid. I first actually heard about him in the eighth grade. I went to a camp at Buchanan, and he was there. And people were pointing out at me like, yeah, that's the next dude. Yeah, that's the next guy. And he's been on the show before. Just a great kid, phenomenal athlete. You could tell early that he was going to be a superstar. And he played that one played a couple years with Jalen Green, who's the number two pick in the NBA draft by the Houston Rockets. So Joseph's my guy. He can do it all going to Fresno State, and you could tell in a lot of games that he was at sometimes just a man among boys. I 6'5", high riser, had at least 3 or 4 dunks every game, could shoot the three, was a very underrated passer as well. The guy sees the court very, very well, has good handles, can obviously jump out of the gym. So Joseph Hunter is my guy. So happy that he's staying home to play at Fresno State. We're going to be able to follow him. And I mean, he's a future pro player to me. So Joseph Hunter, my guy, boys athlete of the year.
No complaints from my side. He's another one of my top choices. There's so many top choices I have, Paul. I'm sorry.
I know. And you got to throw in Nate Johnson there as well. He's one of my runner-ups, a guy that I had on my short list. You know, Nate's going to the University of Utah to play football. You know, showed up at the Central Section Masters track meet, won the 100, participated in state. Yeah, Gabe, what did he get in the long jump at state? Did he placed, right?
He got 4th place in the long jump in the final.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so Nate Johnson was definitely a candidate as well, but my guy is JoJo. Okay, so Girls Athlete of the Year. I'll go ahead and take this one first. And you mentioned her too, Gabe, and she was on my show, and she is a great representative of Clovis North High School, and that is Takaya Sensei. Clovis North Track and Field, Central Section champ in the 200, 400, 4x400, state champ in the 400, number 5 time in the nation. In the 400. She got 2nd place in the 200, and she was part of the 4x4 state title, headed to USC. And Gabe, and this is funny. This is a funny little story. So during the show, when Takaya was on with her coach, Rich Brazil, my wife texted me, and she said, "Paul, you know that's Takaya, right?" And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, that's Takaya." When I say that, I mean Takaya played soccer with my daughters as an 8-year-old. And I just realized that is the same Takaya. Takaya was the fastest girl on the soccer field every game. It's like when you need a goal, just get it to Takaya. She would score. She would score 5 goals a game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is the Takaya that played soccer with my daughter. So I realized that during my interview with her, and I didn't want to bring it up. But, yeah, so Takaya, I remember back then, she was just such a great kid, just a wonderful human being. And, yeah, she's my girl for Girls Athlete of the Year, headed to USC. Couldn't be nicer, just well-spoken. So, yeah, that's my girl, Takaya, who my daughters played soccer with as an 8-year-old. I totally forgot about that.
I laughed out loud. That's so funny. And the way the Central Valley produces in the track world, that Clovis North Bronco might be a future Olympian. You might have had a future Olympian playing with your daughters in 8-year-old soccer. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Well, it would be, yeah, in soccer, you know, especially at 8 years old, sometimes, you know, when they're 7 and 6, it would be like, I called it amoeba soccer, where the goals are a little bit, you know, the distance isn't very, very far apart. And there would be a big scrum for the ball, and then somebody would emerge with the soccer ball and just outrun everybody. Well, that was Takaya, and now she's a state champion of the 400 and the number 5 time in the nation. So little Takaya is one of the top runners in the state, so that's pretty awesome.
Well, my girl's athlete, and, you know, I might do co-athletes because I just want to give as many athletes their spotlight as possible. Also comes from Clovis North, Ryan Maddox for softball. She was dominant throughout the regular season. Unfortunately, the injury kept her from the postseason. But I tell you, if she was healthy in the postseason, we might have seen back-to-back titles for Clovis North softball. Nonetheless, when she struck out 21 Clovis West batters, to me, that solidified a co-athlete of the year. And then the other co-athlete is Atoya Montgomery of Clovis West. Similar situation to Ty's Paris Tillman. She was the best player on the best girls basketball team in the Central Section. She really grew from her sophomore to her junior year just in terms of aggressiveness. We saw her take on the number one scorer's role. After those seniors graduated, Craig Campbell was relying on her to be the alpha on that team, and her and Athena are a great 1-2 punch. Athena Tomlinson, I'm talking about, for Clovis West girls basketball. But Atoya Montgomery and Ryan Maddox, girls co-athletes of the year.
Good call. Again, can't go wrong there. Again, Ryan Maddox is up for Miss Softball in the state of California by Cal High Sports. Yeah, good call there. All right, Boys Game of the Year. Gabe, we'll have you go first. What do you got for Boys Game of the Year?
So there's going to be a commonality between our games of the year, but I'm going to choose Clovis West versus Clovis North, December 11th, 2021. That was, I believe, a Saturday night. It was the championship game of the Nike Invitational. And if you want to skip ahead in the movie, you can skip past the history between Tony Amitz and Vance Wahlberg. You know, part of that it's like a it's a fraternity in the track, right? You know, Amundsen played for Wahlberg, then coached under him, and now Amundsen has his own team. Once you get past all of that, the quality of basketball on the court, starting in the third quarter, I mean, the first two quarters were well played, but the third quarter, that's when the drama starts, because North has an 11-point lead over West, and West eliminates that lead heading into the fourth quarter. It's back and forth in the fourth quarter, tied game after regulation, after a first overtime, it's still not decided, after a second overtime, it's still not decided, and finally in triple overtime, in a game where both teams combined to score over 200 points, Clovis West took down Clovis North 102-94 in triple OT, showing both teams how good they could be, and they both showed it eventually, because Clovis West ends up playing in the open division in the state level, and Clovis North ends up going all the way to Sacramento in Division One.
There's something to be said about that Golden Eagle, Jim, right? So my game is the Clovis West and St. Joe Open Division Championship, a game that we were able to call on 1430 ESPN, and I will never forget that game. And we also called that triple overtime game that you just mentioned on 1430 ESPN. Just the electricity in the building, just the student sections, the pageantry of basketball. That was definitely on display in the Open Division Championship won by Clovis West in overtime. Only took them one overtime, Gabe. The game you chose had Clovis West had to prevail in three. But in the championship game against St. Joe's, it was one overtime. They won 72-63. They were down 23 points in the second quarter. Talking about the Golden Eagles, outscored the defending champs, who had some studs on their team, outscored them in the second half 32-18. Isaac Martinez made incredible plays down the stretch. Tyus Paris-Tillman, your boys' athlete of the year, made some, you know, some incredible blocks as well, and it was just a menace down underneath the rim. Jackson Young hit some big threes. Oh, that's a game that I will not soon forget for a long time. So my game of the year for boys, Clovis West St. Joe's Open Division Championship. All right, baseball. I have a baseball game as my runner-up, the Clovis East and Central game. That three homers, a walk-off walk in the bottom of the seventh for Clovis East to win it. So that is my runner-up, I guess I can say. How about for you, Gabe?
Runner-up is Los Alamitos at Buchanan Football. Malachi Nelson, a five-star quarterback who's going to play at USC. He came to Veterans Memorial Stadium. But Buchanan kept it close, just like when De La Salle came here to Fresno a couple years ago. Buchanan wasn't far away from the Spartans in that one, and neither in this one against the Griffins. Buchanan barely loses 42-34 after Los Alamitos gets the first down they need to seal the game.
And you know that Malachi is now headed to USC after flipping from Oklahoma, right? So, yeah, that was a pretty easy call for him. So, yeah, that was definitely a fun game to do as well. So, girls' game of the year, really quick, Gabe. Clovis softball, Margie Wright Stadium defeats Central 2-0. We mentioned Lauren Carranco, how hot she was in the circle, and she definitely proved her mettle in that game, won with the shutout 2-0. And Ashley Rocha, again, the second baseman, had an RBI single in that game.
My girls' game of the year comes just last Saturday, the Division 5 SoCal Regional Championship between Nipomo and Carruthers. I talked about it a little bit last hour, but Nipomo had a 5-2 lead on Carruthers. Coming into this game, Carruthers had a 9-game winning streak. They were dominating opponents. This was a school of 600 students beating LA teams with 2,000 kids. And so coming to this stage, it was tough for the Carruthers Blue Raiders, but they showed their mettle. They came back, scored two in the bottom of the fifth, and then tied it in the bottom of the sixth. 5-5 was the score, and Morgan Trigueros steps to the plate. Paige Sterling on third base. She hit the ball hard at the shortstop, and Paige was telling me if she caught it, she would have been doubled off because Paige was going to go. No matter what, Paige was going to home plate when the ball was hit hard. Luckily for Carruthers, it looked like the Nipomo player misfielded it, bounced out of her glove, and the celebration started at home plate for Carruthers, your Division 5 Southern California Regional Softball Champions.
Magical season for Carruthers. Obviously, their girls basketball team with a lot of those same players won a Central Section Championship. All right, Gabe, we could talk about this for hours. Good job by you. Always good to talk about high school sports. Again, catch Home Field Advantage, Gabe Camarillo, Mondays through Thursday from 3 to 5. Gabe, always fun talking with you, man. You do a great job. Thanks for everything that you've done for me this year.
Thanks for letting me produce your show. We had a great first season and only better things to come next season.
All right, absolutely can't wait. All right, after the break, we're going to be talking with Jeremiah Walker, who's gotten a lot of love the last few weeks, and deservedly so. It seems like he's making the rounds, making the circuit for all the radio interviews. But, yeah, he definitely deserves it. And Coach Pulliam's here as well. We're going to be talking with them after the break on 1430 ESPN. Wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I gotta let that ride a little bit. 21 Pilots, one of my favorite bands in the world. Those guys are amazing. They just did an MTV Unplugged episode that was just amazing. Tyler Joseph, Josh Dunn, or the combo there. So yeah, anytime Gabe rolls with 21 Pilots as my intro man, I get pretty excited about that. So again, thanks to Gabe Camarillo. Couple really fun segments wrapping up our school year. Again, this is the final episode of the Central Valley Sports Report before we come back on August 14th. So if you guys want to go back and listen to any part of any episode, you could go to the 1430 ESPN website, go under podcasts and Central Valley Sports Report or Off the Bench or the Jose Gonzalez Show or Gabe's new show, Home Field Advantage, and you guys can go back and listen. You could do it on your phone later or on your computer. No problem. It's kind of the wave of the future. All right. We have talked a lot about track and field the last few weeks, and deservedly so, man. Again, the Central Section had a wonderful, wonderful showing at the CIF State Track and Field event a couple weeks ago at Buchanan. And we got Jeremiah Walker, who is, like I mentioned, man, I feel like this guy's been on the circuit, and he deserves it. Just a wonderful story. Have him right now here at First String Sports. Central High Track and Field, state champ in the 400. You ran a 46.81 in the prelims. In the finals, you ran a 47.49. And for me, when I look at track at the 400, to me the benchmark's 50. Like if you run under 50, you're kind of a dude, right? And then you get into 48, you're like, okay. But when you run a 46, that really piques my interest. That is a blazing time. Really quick, Jeremiah, do you know what is that in the nation? Compared to me, do we know, Coach?
I want to say it is 15 and 18 in the nation.
Okay, 15th and 18th in the nation. Incredible. Obviously, Central won the team event as well, headed to San Jose State. Also joining us today is Coach Cedric Pulliam. So, Jeremiah, you know, where are those gold medals right now? You came home with, what, three of them?
Two
of them, 400 and the relay. That's right, because you got the second place in the 4x4 we're going to get into. Where are those at right now? Where are they at in your house?
They're hanging up on my wall. I got a little shelf with a little bar that goes across my bed and everything else in my room. And, you know, I just put my medals on there, and I got my trophies and all that stuff, my plaques just sitting on top of my wall and everything.
But I bet it's – do you have enough room on your walls for all your medals?
Nah.
You run out of room?
Matter of fact, I gotta get a longer pole because it's like it's a little pole that goes like straight across my room. So I gotta get a longer pole because I got way too many medals and trophies.
Well, that's a good thing. I would think you'd be running out of room. And so, I want to ask you, like, when did you start? When did you become, you know, really, really good at track and field? Were you always the fastest kid on the playground at school? And then when you got into meets, you're like, yeah, smoking everybody? Or when did you first realize that you're really, really fast?
When I first realized is when I, middle school year, when Pulliam came and, you know, he, you know, came to watch me, you know, that's when I was like, okay, I got people watching me, so this must be something real serious. And he's been through all the meets in my middle school year, and I was like, oh, yeah, this got to be something for real. Like, literally, I had to, like, you know, run 51s in middle school. That's crazy, man. 51s, 52s. You rarely see an eighth grader running 51s and 52s.
What, Coach Pulliam, when did you first – when did this guy first come on your radar? I mean, when you watched him first find, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's got potential.
Well, I first saw him when he was running age group track, you know, and just seeing him out there run with his friends and everything – you know, I knew he had something special that not too many people have, you know, within the valley. You know, you talk about the Henry Ellards and, you know, all the greats that came through. And I knew that he had what it takes.
Well, what did you see? What makes a perfect, you know, he runs the 400, runs the 200. What body type or what, you know, what did you see in him that like, yeah, that's going to translate well?
I just saw how he moved, you know, and also I saw how he moved when he had competition. He's fast when there's fast people pushing him,
And if they're in a race running 45s, he's going to run 45 too. You know, if they're in a race, you know, where they're running 10 twos, 10 threes, he's going to be up there with them too. So he lives for that competition, and just seeing him do that at a younger age, I knew he had something special.
As a coach, do you teach more? You running against yourself, or you're rising up and running against your competition? What do you like to teach your guys?
All that above. Like, just be ready to go. You know, whenever you line up, no matter if somebody's fast or slow, you have to, you know, go all out and give it your all. Because there's times where you're not going to be in a fast race with somebody fast that you have to qualify.
Yeah.
And if you run slow, then, you know, it's a chance you might not qualify. So all time in practice, you know, we're running against the clock. The clock is the enemy.
Okay. And Jeremiah, for you, you know, do you have that mentality too? You know, let's say you're running again in a race that, you know, guys run a 47 before. Are you thinking, I got to beat this dude, or are you racing more against the time?
Mainly I race against the time. It'd be good to run with dudes that run 45s because, you know, it does give me sort of a push. But if I'm out front, it's just me and the clock. You know, it's just we go head to head with the clock. I don't care if you run a 46 or you run a 43. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna run against the clock.
Coach Pulliam, you know, state track and meet field event, and you know, has produced a lot of Olympians. I remember seeing Michael Norman run, and I made sure I took a picture of that guy, because I'm like, that's a dude that's going to be a future Olympian. And when he ran at Buchanan, I made sure of that. But I want to talk about the you know, the difference between a 400 and a 200 race. Maybe Jeremiah, I could start with you. You run both. What is, to you, what's the big difference between running a 200 and 400?
The difference between me is, like, the foot speed, you know. Sometimes you got a 400, like, the first 200, it got to be strong. And the last 200, it's just all about mental. The 200, you just basically run, let it all out, you know, foot speed, you know, coming off that curve, running hard on that curve. When you get to the straight, you know, that's where you come in there and you try to fight for the end, because, you know, everybody's trying to, you know, get to the finish line.
So is Coach Pulliam, is that what you teach your guys? You know, 200, is it basically just 100, you know, doubled in time, and you're just going full out? Is that the mentality? I mean, help me out.
Yes,
here.
Yes, so, you know, for when you get to the elite, you know, 400 runners and 200 runners, it's relatively the same, because the 400 is still a sprint, you know, but you got to get out hard. Like, there is no difference of, you know, getting out harder on either or. It's the same way you get out in 100, same way you get out in the 400, same way you get out in the 2. When you come out of them blocks, you got to push hard. Run that turn. Run that first turn hard, and then the straight will take care of itself.
So the straight will take care of itself. Is that, Jeremiah, do you, like, when somebody's pushing you, like, how much do you thrive on that, right? When you know maybe a guy's a couple steps ahead of you down the straight, or maybe somebody's really pushing you, how do you thrive in that moment? What's your mentality in that moment?
Really, I don't know, because usually once we get to the end of the curve, that's where I catch everybody. You know, that's where I always, like, you know, out there in front of everybody. So to be honest with me, I really wouldn't know how that feel. I don't know, like, you know, what I would do usually in that situation, because, like, I rarely ever be in that situation.
So 400 all year, you never lost a race? This year?
No. I don't think
I think I saw on, well, my computer, I got to put in the password again. But, yeah, I had it up there. I saw 1-1-1-1-1-1-1 all in your 400 races this year. I asked this to Kaya, who won the 400 for Clovis North on the girls' side. I asked her this question. I want to ask you as well. When you have a target on your back, when you're the number one person in a race all year, and was like, yeah, I'm gunning for that guy. When you finally won the 400 this year, was it more of a relief? Like, yeah, I did it. Or are you more just like, yeah, I did it? You know what I mean? Like, was it more of just, I finally got it over with? You know, I proved to myself that I can be the man all the way through. Or is it like, yeah, I did it?
Really, I'm never satisfied after the four, because I still got other events that I got to run, you know, with a lot of great people like Roderick Pleasants, the 200, you know. Yeah. He's really good at the two. So I'm like, I can't get relieved, because once I get relaxed, then that's going to throw me off in my other races, and I'm going to be like, okay, I'm done for the day, and there's nothing else for me to do. So after the four, I'm always still hungry and ready to beat everybody.
Kind of all business, right?
Yeah.
All business. Yeah, Coach, that's interesting interesting thing about track and field, especially a multi-event guy like Jeremiah here. You know, how are you able to pace yourself? What does that look like throughout an event? Because, you know, as far as the downtime, they got to put liquids in, or, you know, you got to eat something really quick, or, you know, what's that look like?
You know, after every race, we have them cool down, you know, just to get that lactic acid, you know, broken down, get the bodies back relaxed, and go to the team area, get your feet up, like get off your feet. Drink water, electrolytes, just relax mentally and physically, because when it's time to warm up again, we got to get back up there too.
Okay. Jeremiah, you got to ask you about that final race. All right. Coach, I kind of want you to set it up from your perspective. All right. So you guys as a team total were in second place coming up to the final relay race. Was it the final event of the whole meet? The final race. All right, I kind of want you to set it up for everybody out there, because you know, from your perspective of what you guys needed, how you, did you talk to the boys before the race, and then what did you see unfold?
You know, it actually started the day before. Leading up to the qualifying for the 4x4 for the finals, I knew that we had to win it, to win the whole thing. So that's when I took him out of the 4x4 the day before. And to a lot of people, that looks like a gamble, because, like, oh, you're taking out your best runner, you might not be able to make it to the finals. But knowing what we have six guys that can run under 50. So I knew that, okay, the guys that I put in, other than him and my other guy that took off, they can get it done. So we qualified. We were six going into the finals the next day.
Okay.
So I knew if we just make it to the finals, I'll put the A team together the next day, we should be able to win it or take second.
And then what did you see, man, when that race goes? Because you guys needed first or second place.
First or second. So after the 200 meters, you know, I evaluated all the guys again. How you feeling? And everybody was like, okay, you know, we saw, we heard it, but hey, this is the last of it. So I pulled Jeremiah, Amari, and Cameron aside and said, hey, who do you want to run on this relay? Like, which person do you feel is the most focused to run and get this done? And they picked Jerome Brown. So then, Jerome, let's go. So I put him at third leg. He held his own, and then we got to Jeremiah. I just knew that if we get it within 15 to 20 meters, we should be able to win it. Win it or take second.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew when Jerome brought it to him, we were about 25 meters, you know, behind the first and second place. I said, oh, when he got the stick, okay. We got this.
And you got it. You got it. However, there's some things that happened earlier in the day, Jeremiah. You got hurt, right? So you got some injuries. And again, this is just a great story. So did you literally tear your hamstring, or was it a grade one or grade two?
To be honest, it felt like a tear, but I don't really think it was a tear. That's the problem. Like, he was like, it was torn. I was like, it can't be
strain.
Yeah, it was probably strain. Yeah, because he was just telling us it was torn. But with me, I'm like, nothing can be torn, because I rarely even get hurt in anything I do. I rarely get hurt. So I was like, it's probably a little strain, a little cramp, a little something. So I'm gonna keep going on it.
And you're like, there's no way I'm not doing this for my team and for my teammates, right? Was that your mentality? Like, guys, I'm going all in.
Yeah, I told them I got them together. I said, guys, I'm gonna set you know, my pride aside, and you know, go out there and do what I need to do for you guys, because you know, I tell everybody I put my team first, because you know, my team made it way out here, and I'm not gonna quit, because you know, we came this far, we're undefeated in the 4x1. We're not going to give up, and this is my last year, so I had to win state for my last year, my senior year of high school.
That's amazing. It's almost like a could be made into a Disney movie or something like that, right? The guy gets hurt, needed get placed first or second to win the overall state championship, and you pulled away in the end and got that. Man, Coach, what was the celebration like? Like obviously you knew you needed those points to win the overall title, yeah, right? So, I mean – What was that feeling? You just hug your other coaches? Were you just like, I can't believe we did it? What was the emotions
like?
Well,
I'm not going to lie. I cried like a baby afterwards. It was like an ugly cry, right? So, you know, but it was a cry of, you know, of like joy. But because the thing is, the first thing that came to mind was how much work that we put in leading up to starting in August. So we did things that people didn't see. You know, like, and I tell the kids, hey, we're going to win state because we're doing the things that people don't see so we can do the things that people can see. You know what I mean? So it's that, you know, cooling down. It's that going to practice when it's raining. It's that is all that stuff that people don't want to do, you know, that work we put in that led up to that.
Well, Coach, when did you see or when did you know the potential of this team that could make a, you know, have a great run at a team state title? When did you realize that? Before the season, summer, last year?
Last year, because I knew we had coming back and I knew we had coming in. So just seeing everybody work together, everybody on the same page, because remember, the goal was state. The goal was never Division I. The goal was never a Valley. I mean, yeah, those are icing on the cake. If we win, great. But I kept on telling the kids, hey, okay, we didn't win Valley. But remember, guys, that wasn't the goal. The goal was to winning and getting to state finals and doing something to get there and winning it. So we kept our head down the whole season. Arcadia wasn't the goal. We had fun there. You know, we won some stuff there, but that wasn't the goal. Every meet we walked away from, winning, breaking records and all that, we weren't celebrating and going crazy because that wasn't the goal. We celebrated after we completed the goal.
Yeah. Talking with Coach Central Track and Field Coach Cedric Pulliam and Jeremiah Walker, state champs here. Jeremiah, I know that faith is really important to you. It's important to a lot of people. And, you know, I know that, you know, you mentioned that you got a little banged up, you got a little injury. But, you know, how has faith propelled you throughout the season and throughout your life?
It did me well, you know, gave me a lot of opportunities, you know. Gave like a lot of opportunities to show little ones, you know, anything is possible. Because, you know, a lot of people come up to me and they was like, how you do it? What you do to do it? And I said, you know, I go out there, you know, put my heart. You really want it, you're going to have to put your heart out there to actually get it, you know. Because everybody think, oh, it's just going to fall in your lap. It's not going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to go out there. You have to go get it. And you have to go show people that you want it. It's not going to, you know, come easy.
So talent, hard work, determination, all those things play a factor.
All those things play a factor because, you know, if you don't go out there, you don't work. Like Pulliam said, you don't go out there and you don't work when people's not watching, it's not, you know, you're not going to perform well. You will never perform well without working hard.
I want to ask you, Coach, just how much of a pleasure it's been to follow this young man's career and just, you know, speak positives about him and, you know, just talk about this young man in general and what you see here.
You know, I learned a lot from him. You know, I became a better coach, you know, with being, you know, around him because I learned that, okay, hey, it's more than just track and field. You know, it's about life. You know, it's about what can we do with these kids that are going to make them better people in this world and make an impact on and off the track. So that's what we definitely preach at Central is, you know, being better people and creating leaders for tomorrow.
Yeah, excellent. Well put. And that's something that I like to emphasize, too, on the show and just how sports is you know, it's huge, right? And it teaches life lessons and all those things and how important high school is that we're teaching life lessons for the future because, you know, We've all been through a lot as coaches and as players as well, and we've seen the good times, we've seen the bad times in life and then on the court and on the field as well. So, yeah. So, Jeremiah, I want to ask you, too, about San Jose State, right? You signed with them.
Yes,
that's going to be fun. First of all, when why did you choose San Jose State? What impressed you about them?
The reason why I chose San Jose State is because, number one, it's closer to home.
Yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
My family ain't got to worry about trying to catch a plane ticket to go all the way on the other side of the country or, you know, try to get a train to go somewhere. They could just get up, you know, get a three-hour drive, come visit, you know, come see me, you know. Sightseeing out there at San Jose, you know, I could tell them there's a lot of cool things out there. Or I can come back home, you know, because, you know, I'm going to eventually miss my family when I'm out there. And we also got number one coach, too, in the nation, Coach Charles Ryan, the best coach in the nation. Everybody's terrified of him. I'm like, yeah, he's the number one recruiting coach, you know. I'm like, hey, if a lot of people are saying it, then that's why I'm going to go take my talent because, you know, I want to get my talent better, you know, better myself, you know, in the future so, you know, I can keep, you know, the legacy going. Everybody can know who I am, you know, and how hard I came out to work.
Well, I want to ask you that. We only got about a minute here, but what are your goals for San Jose State? So you ran that, what was it, 46-81? Am I right on that?
Yeah.
You have some goals by the end of 4 years at San Jose State? You want to get into the 44s, or what are we talking here?
Yeah, we trying to get into 44s, you know. you know, because there's a lot of hungry dogs out there in college. You know, I can't go out there running no 46 again. So we got to try to go out there, run 44s, you know, get down to 19s in the 200, try to get, like, you know, 10 ones, you know, 998s in the 100 down in there, try to get in some relays, you know, try to get in some indoor meets because, you know, we – high school, there's some people that get in indoor meets, but yeah. Our school, we didn't get into, like, any indoor meets. So I'm like, hey, at least I can get to college, and they run indoor meets. I can enjoy it to see what it feel like because, you know, I always wanted to know what it feel like to run an indoor meet. So, you know, we can get out there, run an indoor meet, you know. Me and Cameron, you know, can have fun, you know, together. And, you know, same thing at practice. He pushed me, I push him. So when we get there at San Jose, we're going to push each other, you know, to get better than everybody else.
Exactly. All right. I'm excited for that. Do you know what you might – what you like to study? Mm-hmm. We got some interest yet? Or that to be determined.
We'll call it
to be determined. Okay. Jeremiah, we really appreciate you. Just incredible story. You know, winning that 400, I didn't even get to talk about the 4x1, man. You guys are smoking everybody. We always run out of time here on the show. But, yeah, you congrats on just a successful career and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
And, Coach, thank you for coming on and you know, and pushing these young men and women and breathing life into them. Really appreciate you as well.
Thank you very much. Go Grizzlies.
Go Grizzlies. All right. We're going to be wrapping it up coming up after the break here on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Well, folks, what an incredible season this has been in the Central Section. This is the last show before take a couple months off, come back August 14th. I just have to say thank you to all of you guys for listening. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you. Your feedback, meeting a lot of you at games and different events have just meant a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you guys. I want to thank First String Sports, Phil and Jerry Luna, for being our sponsors, Sean Hand and the rest of the staff here at First String Sports. On the show, we had Yosef Ferris. Justin Garza, high football coach, is doing an internship for the Atlanta Falcons, for coming on the show. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo, as always, for producing and jumping on, doing our best of, and our year in review. I want to thank Jeremiah Walker, who is here. He did a great job, state champion, two gold medals, including the team title, Coach Cedric Pulliam of Central. Also want to thank some guys at ESPN, again, for entrusting me with having this show. Consider it an honor and a privilege to talk to you guys about high school sports. I want to thank Chris Pacheco. I want to thank Danny Whitmore. I want to thank Jose Gonzalez for trusting me and bringing you the all the great stories here in the Central Valley. And in closing, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything that you do, and don't forget to leave it all in the field. I will talk to you soon. Don't you cry no more.
Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.